This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold. I hit it
hard, man. And good morning. Welcome in. Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. Producer Jacob Payne across the glass as well. Unfortunately, this morning, Charlie Epps not going to join us. We wish him the best. Hope he gets some rest, gets healthy. Got a text last night, Jacob. Charlie in the hospital. It has been a heck of a week, say the least. So we wish Charlie the best. Hopefully he's back with us next week. And we'll get Bill Harmon on the phone in just a little bit. A ton to get to. I think this is the most jam-packed Charlie Epps Golf Hour certainly we've had this year, but since I've been participating in the program. Right, we got Tiger next week, going to make his season debut, so plenty of thoughts around that. And it's not just Tiger Woods. The Farmers Insurance Open next week, the field for that, we'll get Bill's thoughts on it because it is jam-packed. And now that we get to the West Coast swing, really, and the next 5 weeks should be terrific for golf, certainly just at the PGA Tour level, we'll talk a little bit about the Champions Tour as well. There's a ton going on there. What's the realistic expectation out of the gate for Tiger? Some more interesting comments from Jordan Spieth, who continues to just have a rough go out on the golf course another time around in Hawaii. And so really bizarre quotes, I think, from Jordan Spieth. And, you know, Bill had talked about this in the past about Spieth and just where he's at in his game. And I want to see what he thinks about some of these latest comments from Jordan Spieth. Plus, a really bizarre story, and you know, someone that is caddied would have a better perspective on this, and so I can't wait for Bill. Matt Kuchar denying rumors. There's a rumor out there that he only paid a caddy in a tournament down in Mexico $3,000 at a tournament, which has caused a lot of uproar because he was okay, come on now. You've made millions and millions of dollars. Why are you only paying a caddy $3,000? Of course, he denies it, so kind of interesting dynamic with that, so we'll get into that. Plus, Larry Fitzgerald, yes, the current Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, was down in Florida, Seminole Golf Course, playing with the former president, Barack Obama. Yeah, hit a hole-in-one in front of the former president. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Well, we get started today. Final thoughts on the Sony Open from last week, where Matt Kuchar pulled away, won it by 4 strokes at 22 under, and Phil Mickelson out at the Desert Classic. We start there.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right, just getting started this morning on SB Nation Radio, Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Minus Charlie Epps this morning, unfortunately, as we mentioned, in the hospital. Hope everything goes well with him over the next day or so. We still have Bill Harmon, though, out in Arizona. Bill, good morning.
Good morning there, Alex. How you doing?
We're doing all right. We were texting back and forth last night. It's been an interesting week, that's for sure. And then we both were startled to see the text there from Charlie. It was a photo of him in a hospital gown there, laying in the hospital bed.
Yeah, he's. I hope he's going to be okay. It sounded like he had some adverse reaction to some medication or something, but hopefully he'll be okay, and this is just a temporary thing for Charlie.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into it, and I was saying, you know, this is the most packed show we've had in a while, I would say. So much to talk about with what's on par in the next week or so, and certainly what's going on just right now. And, of course, you're at the site there, the Desert Classic. We'll get to that in just a second. But final thoughts on how the Sony Open went, Bill. You said you thought there was going to be two guys there at the top pulling away, and that's pretty much what happened with Putnam and Kuchar. And there you see a 4-stroke victory there at 22 under.
I was very impressed with what Matt did to have the lead and get off to a bad start. He made 3 bogeys in the first 5 holes. That's not easy to pull that together.
And I think we accidentally, or we just lost Bill there. No worries. We'll get Bill back on the line out in Arizona as he's, I'm assuming he's out around the golf course, and so I wonder if there's some cell issues and everything. So we'll try to get reconnected with Bill Harmon out there. But I wanted to get his thoughts just on how it went, because when we were talking about the Sony Open last week down in Hawaii, at that point it was a pretty close contest between Kuchar and Putnam, and wondering, all right, could a guy like Leishman catch up, or Connors catch up? And both Charlie and Bill said, no, I think what we're going to see is Kuchar and Putnam pull away from the pack a little bit. And that is what happened. As I mentioned, a four-stroke victory there. And the next third place was at 17 under. So it's certainly what happened. I believe we have Bill back on the phone as well. Sorry about that, Bill. We lost a little connection there.
That was my fault, I believe. What I was saying is when you tee off with the lead and you make three bogeys early, it's not always easy to get yourself back on track. And Matt did a great job of staying patient and believing in his game. And so I thought it was a heck of a comeback for him to have the lead, lose the lead, and then just keep staying the course and doing his thing, and then eventually pulling away and playing just beautifully on the back nine when he had to. So I'll be interested to see if this propels him. You know, he's won a couple tournaments now. He had a reputation of not being able to finish the deal as much as one might expect, considering how often he's in the hunt. But he's won a couple now here in the last few months. So he's very interested to see how he performs the rest of the year, especially, Alex, because by nature he's not a long hitter. And so in this era of power golf, for him to win a couple tournaments early in the season is a pretty big deal, I think.
Now, you know, we see these last two tournaments, I should say, out in Hawaii, and how much can you take from what players are able to do down there compared to what, for instance, this weekend at a Desert Classic? What's the biggest difference there? You know, I know we discussed the wind a lot down in Hawaii.
Well, you know, they didn't have much wind in Honolulu last week. And the course there at Wailea is similar to some of the courses they're playing here in the desert, in the sense that they're not real long, but you have to hit it straight. And so, obviously, you can't compare a wide course on the ocean
right
to a desert course, but the similarities of having to hit the ball straight and not having the courses overly long could bode well for the ball strikers. But at the end of the day, length is always an advantage. It's never, ever a disadvantage.
Talking with Bill Harmon, of course, it's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. Well, while we're on Matt Kuchar, this story you brought to my attention yesterday, and this is interesting. You know, a local caddy down in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken, going back to November, complaining or at least saying that there was only a $3,000 payment to that local caddy at the time. Now it's been denied. What do you make of all this? You've caddied for multiple times in your career.
Well, I didn't. The story did not come from the caddy, from what I understand.
Okay.
The caddy hadn't said anything. Matt denies that it was $3,000, but he didn't say what it was. So we don't really know what it was. It all started when a senior tour player named Tom Gillis kind of tweeted or went on Instagram and said that if he paid him that quarterly, that doesn't shed a good light on Matt. So Matt denied that it was $3,000, but did not say what it was. The standard fare would have been to give the guy 10%, but that's what you would do with your regular caddy.
Okay.
Local caddy, you might have had a different arrangement. But even if it was 5%, I believe the winning prize was $1,000,002. That would have been $60,000. So I'm sure that, I'm going to assume living in Mexico, perhaps, and caddying, that $60,000 could have been a life changer. If that's in fact, we don't know what he got. But when those stories come out, to me, there has to be a modicum of truth to maybe,
right,
something wasn't right. I don't think you just make that up out of the clear blue sky. But having said it was not his regular caddy, but if it was, in fact, anything close to $3,000, I would say that wouldn't bode well for for Matt. You know, another thing that people don't realize, when a guy wins a tour event, he's probably going to get close to $1 million extra in bonuses from his companies if he's a player of Matt's caliber. And then the money accrued there, in the world ranking point.
I think we'll try to get reconnected there. We're losing a little signal there with Bill Harmon talking about Matt Kuchar. And, again, the story that perhaps, again, it's been denied, you only paid a local caddy. And we'll see if Bill's back. Do we have you again?
I hope so. I don't know. I'm driving in my car, and for some reason I don't normally lose contact in this area, but I must be losing contact right now.
Well, $45 million in career earnings. A lot of people saying, all right, Kuchar, $45 million in career earnings. So, yeah, it's not a good look if it is true.
Yeah, if any of it's true. But we don't know because the caddy hadn't said anything, and Matt has denied. He just said it's a non-story. It was more than $3,000 and less than 10% was what he said. And he doesn't have to tell us what he paid him unless the caddy wants to talk about it. So it was just an interesting story, and you wonder why. Or how it became a story, because somebody must have said something to somebody is all I can think of.
Yeah, that's the bizarre thing. Yeah, if the caddy's not talking, I mean, who besides Kuchar and the caddy, who else would know what kind of money was exchanged or what the agreement was? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we don't know where the story came from, but yeah. Matt said it's a non-story, and unless he wants to address it and actually say what he paid him, I guess, you know, it's probably not appropriate for us to make formulate any real decisions over.
We'll take a quick break here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour and then go out to Arizona and stick with Bill, of course, for the Desert Classic. Phil Mickelson, a two-shot lead out there, his first tournament of the year. Can't wait to see where this thing's going to go over the next couple of days, and an unbelievable story out of Florida involving an NFL player and a former president.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Get affordable health benefits, workers' comp, HR technology, and government compliance, plus 30 years of HR expertise that's unmatched. Serving over 100,000 businesses, head to Insperity.com, making this show possible each and every Saturday morning on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. Alex Gold with you, Bill Harmon out in California at the Desert Classic, and Charlie Epps hopefully back with us next week, dealing with some health issues. We wish him and his family the best here, unable to be on the show with us this morning. And so, Bill, set the scene. What's it been like the last few days there at, the 60th anniversary for the Desert Classic?
Yeah, it's been interesting. We've had a very odd week of weather, although it's going to be great now this weekend with some rain, and they had a delay for fog the first round, which I don't know the last time that ever happened here in the desert. Very interesting, Phil Mickelson. You know, he shot 60 at La Quinta. He's leading the golf tournament now. But he's going to play the last two rounds on the stadium course. And the stadium course really is fraught with danger and a lot of problems off the tee. So I think we're going to learn a lot about Phil's driving this weekend. It'd be very, very hard to fake it with the driver this weekend. He's going to play the stadium course the last 36 holes. He's only hit 57% of his fairways. I think he'll have to do better. And the problem with the stadium course, if you hit a bad drive in the stadium course, you can make a big number. There's a lot of water hazards, a lot of places you can't hit it. So I'm very intrigued to see how he plays this weekend. John Rahm has been on the same rotation. I believe he's four shots behind Phil. But he's hit more fairways and more greens in regulation. So from tee to green, John is playing better than Phil. So it'll be very, very interesting to me to see how this plays out. By and large, they don't have the strongest field here at this event. So the leaderboard isn't what you'd call star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
But still at the PGA Tour event. These guys are wonderful players. So I look at it to be either between Rahm or Phil Mickelson come Sunday afternoon.
The first start of the tour since early October for Phil Mickelson, and I guess what first competitive appearance since the match out in Las Vegas when he was going up against Tiger Woods. Certainly a big difference here. You know, how impressed, though, to have your first tour start since October and to look as good as he did, though, albeit, as you said, the course is going to change up on him here. But not a bad start just to try to get going here when he next 5 weeks or so are going to be awfully interesting.
Well, interestingly enough, La Quinta is also a very tight course, not tight with hazards like stadium courses, but very tight tree-lined. So his 60, you know, 60 is 60. I don't care where you shoot it. My dad said, I don't care how short the course is. They don't make the holes any bigger.
Right.
So you still got to make putts. You still got to hit shots. You still got to think your way around. So a phenomenal round. Obviously, it bodes well for this tournament. You know, it's going to increase the interest in the galleries, I'm sure, dramatically today and tomorrow. So all in all, it's setting up for a good weekend. And I'm sure in some of the golf fans' minds, I certainly understand that the 2019 season will probably start in their minds next week at Torrey Pines. When what's that guy's name that's going to play there, Woods? Something, is that?
Yeah, it's a name you may recall. Yeah, we'll talk plenty about Tiger Woods.
Who was that? Tiger Woods said he's going to play or something?
And that field, I know we're going to get into that field a little bit later on. That's a nice Farmers Insurance. I know Phil's not going to play out there, though, right? That's my understanding.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but my understanding
is... I can't imagine he wouldn't. He lives right there.
Yeah, my understanding was that he was not going to. I'll double check that.
Oh,
but okay. But yeah, I know Rory had committed, and we'll go over the field a little bit later. But yeah, Rory had committed, and you got Jason Day and Justin Rose and Spieth, et cetera. But maybe I'm incorrect there, but I thought I read this morning that he wasn't. Now, sticking with Phil Mickelson for a second, I know we've made a ton of discussion the last 2 weeks about the flag stick, and I don't want to belabor the point too much, but Mickelson, first time that has kind of come up for him. He said after his round, quote, I did leave the pin in and it felt very uncomfortable. I kind of eased into it thinking that if I hit it too hard, it might hit the pin and miss. So I don't think I'll do that again. So I think he's already figured out how he's going to approach it.
Well, I think it's an individual thing. And, you know, we talked about it, that the jury is still out. And, you know, I'm sure I've seen a lot more players using it on long putts here recently. And I was watching the tournament in Singapore on the Golf Channel, and I saw quite a few players over there leaving the pin in. So I think it'll be a personal thing. I think you'll see a lot more people leaving it in on longer putts. But, you know, DeChambeau, as we talked about last week, Alex, he was leaving it in on some relatively short putts, which is interesting. So we're going to have a little event at our club on Tuesday, and it's going to be mandatory that you have to keep the pin in. And it's just going to be a fun thing, and we're just going to, afterwards, we're going to find out what the people think about it. It'll be about 40 or 50 guys playing, so we're doing it just as an experimental thing.
Yeah, that's going to be good to get your – you have to report back with us next week and just kind of how that
went. I will do that.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to kind of see how people react to that overall. The leaderboard overall, as you said, it's not star-studded as far as a field and – So you think it's between Phil Mickelson and John Rahm for the most part? You expect those two guys to be at the top?
Well, I'm going with the front runners there, and you know, they're wonderful players up there. Patrick Cantlay's playing good, but you've got a guy like Steve Marino who hasn't played well in probably close to a decade. Adam Hadwin shot 59 last year in this event, I believe it was last year. He's in third place. Curtis Luck is in second. So, I mean, all of these guys that are on the tour, Alex, are good players. They're just not household names at the moment. And so if you look down the leaderboard, I don't see a whole lot of names, let's say, that are going to intimidate Rahm or Phil. That doesn't mean that they're not wonderful players. But by and large, I wouldn't say it was the strongest leaderboard I've ever seen. And the only reason I say that is, to be honest with you, most of the really quality players do look at the leaderboard. They do kind of assess the situation they're in, and they do assess the players. So if you ask Phil, would he rather have the people chasing him that he has here, or would he rather have Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and a few others? I think I know what the answer would be.
Yeah. Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio, locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1. Alex Gold with you. Bill Harmon, of course, here on the program out in California. And to transition a little bit here, and I'll ask the follow-up to it, but I'm sure you've seen the story yesterday with Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald making a hole-in-one playing with former President Barack Obama. One thing to hit a hole-in-one, but then down at Seminole Golf Club, Fitz was hosting him at Palm Beach Gardens down there, and Fitz makes a hole-in-one in front of a former president. That's unbelievable.
Pretty cool, and I understand that Larry is just an avid golfer, just loves golf, lives and breathes it, and so I'm sure it was a big thrill for him. Seminole is a marvelous golf course, so I would imagine that probably added a little bit to the excitement of it. I played there. My dad still has a course record there, oddly enough, at 60 that he shot in the 40 sometime. So, no, I think that you add playing with the former president, Barack Obama, playing at Seminole, making a hole-in-one. I got to believe that it might put a take a little bit of the sting of that terrible season the Cardinals had last
year. Right, yeah. You got to get a lot of golf in the offseason with the Cardinals. And there's a lot of
something good real quick.
Yeah, because there's a lot of discussion, you know, about Fitz and his NFL career. Is he going to come back for one more year? As you mentioned, it's been a rough last couple of years there in Arizona out in the desert, so whether or not he comes back or not. But that's crazy. I know, because if Charlie was here, I was going to ask him the most famous person he's golfed with, and I think he's gone through a bunch of different names, but I know one of the ones we discussed most recently due to the late former president George H. Bush. I know he had golfed with him, and of course,
yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the same question. What would you say as far as not necessarily hitting a hole in one, of course, but which I'm assuming you have hit, right?
I've had 5 hole in ones, but I've been playing a long time, so that's not any great number. Most famous person I ever played with was the King of Morocco. My dad used to give him personal lessons, and I went over there maybe 10 times and played probably 20 or 30 rounds with him, and courses inside his palace. And it wasn't fantasy land. He actually was the king. As Butch said, his picture was on the money. And so I would say he was by far the most famous person that I ever played with. Nobody even close. Golf-wise, I played with Gene Sarazen, who won the Grand Slam. So I played with quite a few major champions. But Gene Sarazen, you go back into the 30s and 40s, 20s and 30s, he was a Grand Slam winner. So I would say he would probably be one of the people that I've played with that you perhaps not haven't thought that much about. But I've played with quite a few good players over the years. I've played with Tiger Woods, so that would be a big one.
Right.
But the King of Morocco, Tiger's the king of golf maybe, but he's not the king of the country.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I'd say you're doing something right if your face is on some actual currency. Something went well for you.
Yeah, I would say, and you're still alive, I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good indication that you're relatively important where you live.
A lot still to come here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're going to take a look at the LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour, and look ahead to next. Go ahead. Oh, I think we had a little difficulty there. But yeah, we're going to look ahead to all that. We had Bo back on the phone with us and look ahead to next weekend. Yes, Tiger Woods going to make his debut at a Torrey Pines, and no surprise, an 8-time winner at that course, the Farmers Insurance Open. And take a look at the field, and yes, I double-checked, confirmed it. It's a change-up in the normal schedule after 28 straight appearances at the Farmers Insurance Open. Phil Mickelson not going to. So, yeah, I thought I read that this morning. I just went back and double-checked it. And, yeah, no Phil Mickelson next week. But Tiger's going to be there. What do we expect from him out at Torrey Pines? Plus, more interesting comments from Jordan Spieth after how he performed in Hawaii yet again. Some really bizarre quotes, I think, from Jordan Spieth, just about where his game is, where he is at mentally, everything like that. And we'll have that to discuss as we're got about another 25 minutes still on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Thanks for joining us on a Saturday morning. SB Nation Radio locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. Bill Harmon with me out in California. Charlie Epps hopefully back with us next week on the program. And next week, Tiger Woods will make his 2019 debut out at Torrey Pines Farmers Insurance Open. Bill, this is as you said, really next week for a lot of people, the casual golf fans, certainly, this is when it really gets going.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. And the other thing that's interesting, with all the rain we've had, these are very long courses, Alex. And I saw a picture of the rough at Torrey Pines, and it was higher than what U.S. Open rough would be. So I'm sure they'll cut it. But it's very, very difficult to make high, wet rough real short. So I think what we're going to find out real early is the state of Tiger's game. Now, it's not imperative that he plays good this week, because I think he's back in the mode of pointing towards a tournament called the Masters.
Right.
And so, and maybe the Players too, because the Players now is now in March instead of in May. But I think now you're going to see a healthy Tiger Woods, we hope. You know, I wonder about the heavy rough and those conditions, if that will influence the way he hits shots out of the rough and stuff like that. So I think we're going to find a very, very long, difficult course next week. But, of course, as you alluded to at right before the break, he's won 8 times there. So I think he knows how to play there. And it'll be, to me, just interesting to see the state of his game. My brother Craig sent me a video of his swing that he took at the Medalist last week. It looked very good. And so I'm very excited to see how he plays. But I'm also excited to see, you know, a lot of the stars will be there next week. So I think the tour kind of starts now, you know, because you have the fun tournament Phoenix, and then you got the L.A. Open, which is great, Pebble Beach. So to me, the season really starts next week as far as my high interest level goes. And Tiger Woods, he doesn't move the needle. He is the needle.
No question about that. Yeah, the next 5 weeks, the West Coast swing, right, should be fantastic for golf. And you brought up some of the names. Yeah, Rory, Tiger, Jason Day, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler. Justin Thomas, just to name some of the guys. But I did look during the break and confirm it's the first time in 28 straight appearances, that streak being broken. Phil Mickelson not going to play.
You know, now this is pure, 100% pure conjecture. But, you know, Phil put in a bid to redo the North Course a few years ago, and he wasn't going to charge the city of San Diego to do the renovation of it. They eventually, I believe, went with Tom Weisgolf. I'm pretty sure that's who they went with. And perhaps he just left a bad taste in his mouth because he is the hometown hero. He wanted to do something and put his name on it and his stamp. And from what I understand, he was going to do it for free.
Wow.
And so I think he was a little taken. He said it was some kind of, I heard he had told somebody it was some kind of legal issue, and I don't know what it was, but perhaps that's the reason that he's not playing. I don't know that. That's pure 100% conjecture, so don't take that to the bank. That's just, but it is very, very odd that he wouldn't play there with that course right in his backyard that he's played hundreds of times.
Now, what is the realistic expectation for Tiger? I mean, after last year, you know, naturally everybody is expecting, at least as in the casual golf fan, for him to go out and win the Masters and obviously be even better than he was a year ago, which had 7 top 10 finishes, but he still is 43 years old. What's realistic here, even this week? And you said he doesn't need to go out there and necessarily light it up, you know, just trying to get better and better and aim for the Masters overall, but overall, even in 2019, what's realistic in your mind?
I would imagine in his mind, of course, he will tell you that he's always played to win, and that's true. He has. You can't win all of his tournaments without that mindset. I would imagine him not really playing much competitive golf since the Ryder Cup. you know, that if he was in the top 10 going to Sunday, I think that he would like for his Sunday round to have some kind of meaning to him. But I think a lot of it is going to depend on what I've been saying for years, which is his Achilles heel is the driver. So if the rough is anywhere close to as high as it looked like in this picture, even if it's half that, you're going to have to drive the ball good to have a chance. So I think I'll be more interested to see how his driving is. The greens there are difficult. They're Poana greens, and with all the rain and stuff, they could be bumpy. So the putting might be difficult, which might not bode as well for Jordan Spieth, but if he's playing. But I will be real interested to see if Tiger can drive the ball well again. He could get back to perhaps being the number one player in the world.
You brought up Jordan Spieth, so we'll go there. I think 2 weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, we were discussing Spieth and even some of his quotes there, just where he is mentally right now in his game and everything like that. And last week, no different. There's a couple quotes that really stand out. I'll read one of them. I'm sure you've seen these. Quote, "I have a lesser amount of certainty of that than I've had in a while. It doesn't bother me right now. I don't feel anxious like I have to do anything. I feel pretty patient with what's coming because I know I'm working on the right things. Took me a while to figure out what that was." And he also went on to say, "I almost took ignorance as a bliss in a lot of parts of my game. I did things well, but I didn't know why. I just did them. They got off, and so I had to figure out why I did them well and how to train it back." This is, again, Hawaii was rough for him.
Well, it's very interesting. Those are very interesting comments because we see this a lot with wonderful young players. And the motivation is to keep getting better, getting better, getting better. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes they lose the swing that made them so good to start with. And so I remember reading Saturday morning, you know, he missed a cut last week, but he did shoot 66 on Friday. And he basically said, you know, I had to simplify my putting, basically ready, aim, fire, you know. And that looked like he's been working a lot on his stroke. So what I take from what he said there, Alex, is that he's got to quit thinking so much, quit trying to come up with a perfect swing, and get back to the stuff that made him the number one player in the world, which kind of was just playing golf and scoring. These guys have very complex feel systems, and if you keep tweaking and tweaking and tweaking, pretty soon you can lose all those feels that made you the best player in the world. So he might be going through a real learning process here. And you know, I've always been a big fan, and he's such a winner, and he's got so many great things going for him that, you know, my feeling is he'll get it back. Will he be the number one player in the world again? I don't know that.
Yeah,
because that's a tough thing to do, but he has gone through a period here of maybe a little bit of confusion. Every player's gone through it. The trouble is when you go to an artist, to a mechanic, it's not always easy to become an artist again. And reading between the lines, I think that's what he's trying to say. I've got to get back to playing golf the way I used to.
Yeah, get the confidence back. Because he was never right a really great putter. I mean, it was just he was confident when he was doing it, correct? I mean, that's kind of if you
he was the best putter in the world for a couple years. And the year that he won all the two majors and could have won all four, he made more putts than anybody in the history of the game almost for a year. And the fans think that's automatic. Well, I'm telling you, it's not automatic. So. And he's proven that it's not automatic. So I still am a big Jordan Spieth fan. I believe that he'll do well. But I do think that, you know, he's in a period here where he needs some good tournaments, like you said, to get his confidence back, his mojo back. He needs to play good on a Sunday when he's in the hunt. Even if he doesn't win, if he plays good and somebody plays better, that happens. So he's the guy I'm most intrigued with this year because of how good he was when he was younger. He's still wonderful, by the way. He's just struggling like all good players do. It's not that unusual for good players to struggle. The problem is once you lose your natural instincts and natural swing, it makes you wonder, you know, is it ever going to come back?
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio, locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1. Alex Gold here talking with Bill Harmon. And over on the Champions Tour, real briefly here, David Toms taking a four-shot lead in the Mitsubishi Electric Championship out in Hawaii. And I know we were saying, you know, it wasn't windy last week in Hawaii, but certainly has been windy for this tournament. Eight birdies, though, and a bogey yesterday.
Well, that's pretty good shooting, isn't it?
That'll work. That'll play.
That usually works. When you make seven more birdies and bogeys, that's usually a good thing. It's interesting. You know, I think more people thought he would not dominate, but maybe win more tournaments when he turned 50. And he won the Senior Open last year. So he's a wonderful player. Got all the attributes to be a good Champions Tour player. I do think, Alex, it takes some Champion Tour players some time to figure out that a 54-hole tournament is a big difference than a 72-hole tournament. And if you shoot an indifferent first round, you're almost out of it. So it's the mentality to look at it as a sprint, not a marathon. Sometimes the people that first come out there have to change their thought process the first round.
Now, Bill, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to bring up here before we take a break. I did want to mention this, and I think I know what you're probably going to say. This is something I'm not going to even worry about. But I laughed because I saw it yesterday. Nike, I guess, has a new golf shoe they're coming out with, and it is, I don't know, people are going to buy it, I guess, but it is called Grass, and the shoe looks like grass is just growing on it. Who's buying these things?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm actually on the Nike staff. So I'll probably be getting a pair of those
there you go.
Sometime next week in the mail. So I haven't seen a picture. What's it look like? There's grass growing up the
side. It looks like Oscar the Grouch on shoes.
Well, there you go. They're always at the cutting edge of things, and so it'll be interesting to see exactly what those shoes look like.
Yeah, it's something. The Air Max 1 golf shoe called simply called Grass, soon available. So yeah, you'll have to let us know how those are.
I will.
Anything else that you want to touch on here before we get to a break and wrap things up?
Well, I think we should talk a little bit about the LPGA event when we come back from the break.
Sure.
Because they're opening up their season with a couple wonderful players in first and second.
They're at Tranquillo Golf Course. So we'll do that and wrap things up on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
A couple more minutes left here on a Saturday morning. Alex Gold, Bill Harmon with you. LPGA Tour opening weekend in Florida. Brooke Henderson with the two-shot lead. 4-under 67 at the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. Winners only start to the LPGA Tour season. And a bogey-free round, that's always going to work pretty well for you there, Bill.
Yeah, and she's got the number one player in the world right behind her, and Santana Garn. But Lydia Ko is two back, and Lydia Ko is kind of the Jordan Spieth of the LPGA. You know, she came on the scene as a very young player and dominated, and then she decided to change her swing for some reason. And then she fell off to kind of basically mediocrity, and now she seems to be on the way back. So I kind of relate Lydia Ko a little bit to Jordan Spieth. She wooed us with just incredible play at a young age, went through a period of indifference, and now she appears to be on the way back. So Lydia Ko, to me, is kind of the Jordan Spieth of the LPGA, so I'll be very interested to see how she performs this weekend, because Aria can probably outdrive her 50, 60, 70 yards. And so Aria is by far the most gifted lady on the LPGA, and I think the second most gifted might be Brooke Henderson. So you've got two most gifted players, one and two, and also in second place, Lydia Ko, someone who just turned the LPGA on its side when she came on the scene as a 15, 16-year-old girl. So I think tremendous for their tour to have those three players up there with a chance to win.
Only have about 60 seconds left. Maybe this is something we have a deeper discussion on at some point. You just said tremendous to have both of those players on the tour. When you look at previous years, where would you put just the state of the LPGA Tour right now just in terms of overall talent?
I think the talent is by far the greatest it's ever been, but unfortunately the interest doesn't match the talent. Don't have the answer to that. I don't know hardly anybody that talks about the LPGA Tour. But there's no question the players are by far and away the best they've ever been. They're marvelous golfers, but they just don't seem to have a personality that moves the needle. Don't know why that is. I don't have the answer to it. I think it's kind of sad because they're wonderful, wonderful players. But by and large, not a lot of personalities that kind of move the needle. So, unfortunately, most of them act like dial tones out there. And that's probably a way to play better golf, but it doesn't seem to resonate with the golf community.
All right. Well, next week we'll have plenty to talk about. Tiger Woods making his debut out at the Farmers Insurance Open. Bill, thanks so much. Well, hopefully we'll have Charlie back with us next Saturday.
You got it.
All right. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again right here on SB Nation Radio.